seven rural research and development corporations for some time have been looking at how they can address bigger research issues in a more impactful manner. So for the past 8 months, we've been working on this, and we think we can address the biosecurity. It's such a big issue in a more impactful manner by having a more impactful research and development investment model, which attracts key investors into the biosecurity space.
So will there be new funding for biosecurity?
No, it's all about, like any business, rural development corporations need to look at their customers and stakeholders and constituents and say, how can we improve and how can we serve our customers better? So it's all about existing dollars and attracting new dollars through some more contemporary investment models from co-investors out there. At the moment, the Plan RDC spend around $50 million, actually $55 million a year now.
This sort of streamlined funding approach, how do you envisage that will improve biosecurity, particularly plant biosecurity?
Well, biosecurity, particularly plant biosecurity in Australia, is such a complex space. There are a plethora of players and interested parties who all have an opinion. The challenge at times has been corralling those interested parties and getting a decision and acting on that decision. So the Plant Research and Development Corporations have come together and said, we need to get the key decision makers and key co-investors around the table, discuss the national priorities, look for cross-sectoral opportunities, look for individual industry opportunities, and invest and act upon it for the future of agriculture in Australia.
Horticulture Innovation Australia has described the existing setup as fragmented and lacking coordination. Do you think if this kind of collaborative approach had been in place, we might not have seen incursions of things like the tomato potato psyllid in Western Australia or cucumber green mottle mosaic virus in Queensland?
Kelly, I think biosecurity incursions and threats are ever present in Australia. We have a huge coastline. Invariably, some of these incursions come through the tropical areas. It's all about being aware and more vigilant. I don't think it would have stopped those incursions, but it's all about reacting and acting upon those incursions, communicating with key players and getting management systems in place, and also identifying when we look out of Australia and say, what are the potential pathogens and incursions we're likely to get? And once we know what they are, we can prepare for them in a better manner.
Of course, the national biosecurity system has come under a bit of pressure over the last couple of weeks. There was a report that basically indicated that cutbacks in staffing and spending had led to an increase in incursions. Is this decision to team up in response to that?
We've been working on this initiative for 8 months, and the driver for it was all of the plant research and development corporations wanting to deliver better outcomes for their constituents, and that's our growers. So that was the driver for this. Plant biosecurity threats are significant to Australian agriculture. It's one of the biggest threats to our sustainability. So it's just business as usual for us. One of the key components of this initiative, Kelly, is we're going to recruit a national plant biosecurity program manager to work across the plant RDCs to identify cross-sectoral issues, to work with them on their individual issues and make sure those issues are front and centre for discussion and action.
I understand too that there's been a set of principles developed to guide this plant biosecurity research into the future. Can you tell me what some of those principles are?
The key principles are around accountability, responsibility and flexibility. So the flexibility in research is really critical, and that's something which some of the older research models lack. For instance, research is commissioned, and if you end up in a bit of a research dry gully, there's not the flexibility to back out and stop that research. We need to be flexible, and we also need to be accountable to our stakeholders.
Some farmers that I've spoken to have talked about losing faith in the national biosecurity system to protect them. Do you think this approach will go some way towards restoring their faith in Australia's biosecurity network?
Well, Kelly, as I mentioned, biosecurity is such a complex area and it's such a mammoth task. And it's all about doing better with what we have and attracting new co-investors to actually build the biosecurity investment pie so we can address some of these critical needs in a more timely and efficient manner.
When you talk about co-investors, who have you identified as potentially being interested in increasing their investment, their contribution to biosecurity?
If you look at what we've done, for instance, in SIDPLUS, which is a fruit fly initiative of Ford Innovation, we have co-investors in that initiative from New Zealand and Israel. Now, I'm not saying in this initiative it's going to be exclusively international. We need to look at some of the really impactful existing domestic co-investors like the state jurisdictions. But we also need to look out of the square and have a mechanism where we can prospect both domestically and internationally in a far better manner and look for those skills we need out there and attract them to Australia.